Our second reading this morning comes from Esther and chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Here we go. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter. In every province to which the edict and the order of the king had come, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what it was troubling Mordecai and why. And so Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and to plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for for such a time as this. And then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And so Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And this is the word of God. Amen. Good. Good. Okay, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Let us pray. Gracious and good Father, we thank you as always for your written word. And we acknowledge that we need your blessing and the help of your Spirit to understand it, not only with our heads, but also with our hearts, with our minds, our affections, and our choice. We want to honour you by the believing and obedient hearing of your word. And we want to be renewed and encouraged as a congregation and as individual Christian people. And Father, we ask through Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Saviour. Amen. Okay, it was 1939, almost 100 years ago now. And the Blitz was on in London, and the bombs were falling each night. The bombers were coming across the Channel, and the Spitfires were going up to meet them. King George the Sixth, was speaking his Christmas message to our parents, our grandparents. And he quoted, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. And that will be better for you than light and safer than a known way. And so I went forth. And finding the hand of God, I tread gladly into the night." It's true, isn't it, that each year, each month, even each day, we step out into the unknown. Yeah. Esther, I will go to the king, but if I perish, I perish. But she went to the king with her hand in the hand of God. One of our difficulties in life is that we want certainty. We want certainty when we make decisions, and especially when we step out into new directions. We say, I want to be sure that this decision is really right and what I'm going to do will really work. God asks us, commands us to trust him, to trust him. Queen Esther had no certainty. She can only say, I will go to the king. I will do what is right. And if I die, I die. We know the outcome, but she didn't. Can I do this? Yes, I can. No, yes, thank you. The overarching message of the book of Esther is that God is one everywhere in the world. And two, God is always in control of all events. And three, he's always working for his own glory and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And that is right and good. He's also working for the good and the blessing of his people. And that is grace. Our problem is that God is working for our good, but not necessarily our immediate happiness. He's working for our spiritual growth, our likeness to the Lord Jesus, and our fellowship with himself through faith. And then four, God very often does train us, his people, through suffering and pain. John 15:2. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, the faithful believer, he prunes, he cuts, so that it will be even more fruitful. The second major theme in the book, of course, is that when we read Esther, we see no miracles, we hear no prophecies, but that doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. Queen Esther and Uncle Mordecai see no miracles, receive no inspired messages. Our situation, of course, is parallel. We do not usually see miracles. We have the Bible and we trust in God on the basis of its teaching. The mechanic services the car and we pick it up. And on the way home, some child runs across the road and we slam on the brakes and the car stops. It's not a miracle. Not a miracle, but we mutter, "Thank you, it's a providence of God. God has saved us." God day by day does more for us, saves us from difficulty, gives us good things. God gives us more every day than we ever dream. Wow. No, I've lost that. Here we go. Back one. Yes, thank you. The second, no, we've done that. Yep. In our chapter this morning, chapter 4, the decree to kill the Jews has gone out, and all through the empire, the Jews are weeping, wailing, and wearing sackcloth and ashes. And that's verses 1 to 3 of chapter 4. And among those who are wearing sackcloth, ashes, weeping and wailing is Uncle Mordecai. Mordecai is trusting God, and what he must do is clear, because really on the human level, besides prayer, he has only one option. There is only one person in the whole world to whom he can go, and that is Queen Esther. So, that's sometimes one way in which God shows us what to do. Sometimes when we have a decision to make, only one door is open. Only Queen Esther can possibly help. Mordecai is absolutely sure that God will intervene. But even so, he himself is not quite sure that Esther is the answer. But she is the only option that he can see. Verse 14, down near the end of the chapter, verse 14. "For if you remain silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place." I don't know who, I don't know what, but I know that God is going to save his covenant people. Just as the Lord Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus." So deliverance will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. But then who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? You are here in God's providence. Now, isn't that what we often have to do? We have the Bible, we have its guidance, we trust God, we pray, we think about the best solution. and we do what we can. But we have no guarantee of success. That new job might not work out. That marriage even is a venture. We have no guarantees of success. God answers prayer, but not always in the way that we want. We do, but God does not guarantee success. The view that if you truly, truly believe, you will always have health and wealth and whatever else you want is not taught in the Bible. And it's wrong in every person's actual experience. For one thing, in the end, we all die. In the book of Acts, God commands Philip the evangelist, to leave where he was and to go down to the Gaza road and preach the gospel to a man in a chariot. That's a revelation. That's a message from God that he receives, and he knows that it's a message from God. And he goes and he speaks to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the man asks for baptism. Wow. But that message to Philip is not a promise to each and every Christian in all generations that God will give inspired guidance. No. Well, Esther decides that after 3 days of fasting, herself, her personal staff, and all the Jews in Susa, she will go to the king and plead for the withdrawal of the edict to kill her nation. This will not be easy. No. One, there is some anti-Jewish feeling in the empire and in the royal court. Mordecai has consistently told Esther not to let anyone in the palace know that she is Jewish. But now, if she goes to the king, her nationality will indeed become known to all. The king will know most of all, and that will create danger. And two, if Esther goes to the king, her appeal for the Jews will be opposed by Chief Minister Haman, who is very much at the moment the king's favourite. And then three, as one writer has put it, Esther at the present time is one of many wives. And at the present moment, the king's ardour, the king's desire is rather cooled. Verse 11, he has not called me for 30 days. He's not asked for me for a month. And four, if Esther goes to the king without being called, she will be in danger of death. Verse 11. Any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the royal gold scepter to them and spares their lives. Half the ancient Persian kings were assassinated by people they thought were safe and friendly. People who were allowed to get close. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And so this chapter is telling us very clearly that Esther was very much afraid to go to her husband, the king. She is sure that on the human level she is more likely to be killed than to live. But she decides. Verse 16, go and gather all the Jews in Susa and fast. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when that is done, I will go to the king, even although it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Okay. And again, we see essentially the same situation as for Mordecai when he comes to her. She trusts in God, as he does. The statement, if I perish, I perish, notes the risk and the real possibility of failure. Rain, hail, or shine, God will work everything together for the good of those who love him and whom he has called according to his purpose. And all that is true. God is faithful, but sometimes in his most holy, wise and powerful care, and it is that, he does drop us into a hole. We might know the end of this story, but Esther and Mordecai don't. At this moment, she is struggling with faith and duty and uncertainty. But everybody wants certainty in decision making, and we long for the guarantee of success. And that's the point of the modern prophecy and tongues movement. Many good Christian people, faithful people, expect God to guide them through their feelings or conscience. I have peace about this. I'm sure it's really God's will. The trouble is this, that the feeling of peace may come from God or our own psychology, sometimes even from the devil. Sometimes the simple fact of having decided in itself gives a feeling of relief, of peace. There you go. So when perplexed, how do we find God's will? Well, God, the Bible tells us all that God wants us to know for life and salvation, for obedience and blessing until we get to heaven. The Bible is a completed book. God is not going to add any more chapters to his inspired word. And the Bible, in technical terms, is a sufficient book. It doesn't tell us everything we might want to know, not even in spiritual things. But it's a sufficient book. It tells us everything that God thinks we need to know for life and salvation, blessing and obedience. What a treasure. What a treasure. We have the Bible, and to use an expression, we have the light of Christian prudence, Christian thought. We have the Holy Spirit at work in our conscience and thinking to help us prayerfully follow the Bible and sensible Christian wisdom. And so we read the scriptures, we follow its principles, we pray to God and we ask God's guidance. We follow what the Bible says. We consider options. Often we seek the counsel of good and wise friends. And then we move forward. Thus said Esther, thus King George, and thus us. Put your hand into the hand of God, and that will be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Let us pray. Gracious and dear Father, in your wisdom you train us to trust you in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty. You teach us to trust your word and to trust your revealed righteousness and love and power. We thank you that you do indeed make all things, everything, work together for good, for our spiritual growth, for our Christ-likeness, for our fellowship with you. Your purposes, Father, are perfect. We acknowledge that and, Father, we ask that day by day in the uncertainties of life that we can truly trust you. And so, Father, thank you. We give you our thanks, and we ask that you hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Amen.